Merry Christmas. There, I said it. So good to have everybody here. Today's message is putting on the armor. So hope you had a great Christmas yesterday. I know that we did. Good food, good family, and gifts. And we had our own little Christmas miracle there in Galena. And that is that the rain stopped just in time for me to grill the steaks outside. And after I finished up, the rain started again. It was amazing. So that was a lot of fun. But I will tell you that in the past, it's not always been perfect around Christmas time. We usually have struggles with trees. So we would go to Granville and cut down a tree. One time we put it on the roof of our car and strapped it down, and about halfway home it fell off and it's in the ditch, and we're trying to pull over and get it back on again. All those fun things that get you in the flesh at Christmas time. Multiple years in a row, we'd put up the tree and we'd put the decorations on it and get up the next morning and it had fallen over. I mean, that happened more than once. You're putting all the decorations back on again. Then we had a Christmas tradition for years where we would make Christmas tacos, red, white, and green tacos. I don't even remember what exactly was in them, but they were good. And then we would make nachos in the oven. And one year, the nachos caught on fire. I'm so thankful that Marcella knows how to use an extinguisher. God bless my wife. So we have challenges, we have struggles. Are those things spiritual battle? I don't think so. Many times it's just my stupidity, you know, and mistakes that we make. But the truth of the matter is today we are in a spiritual battle. Look at your neighbor and say, there's a battle going on. And that is the truth. Question for you, have you ever been to a parade? And the military is present there. Consider contrasting the military involved with a parade and the military in a battle. In the parade, combat is not the agenda. It's for a show of strength. But the military is on display and they are in their best ceremonial dress. But of course, in a battle, it's for real. Combat is the priority of the day. They are ready to enforce their will on the enemy, and they are in full combat gear. It's a whole other story. And so I want you to know today that you are not in a parade. You are in a battle. Say amen. And so we need to be ready. We need to be suited up. We need to be ready to go. And the passage that gives us that encouragement and that hope is Ephesians chapter 6. Verses 10 to 18. We will be turning there here in just a little bit, and the outline is on the back of your bulletin. But before we do that this morning, I would like to take a moment and share with you how it all began. And now this is not on the screens, but if you want to look and turn into your Bibles to Ezekiel chapter 28, verses 12 to 26, and I'm going to give you a tip. You can find that on page 759 in your chair Bibles. 759 in the chair Bibles, Ezekiel chapter 28, verses 12 to 26. And this prophecy is against a king known as the King of Tyre. The King of Tyre. He was an earthly king. He had come underneath the judgment of God because he had a swelled heart and he had swelled pride. Now, Tyre was a city just above Israel, part of the Phoenician Empire. It's in Lebanon today. And so that city, who this guy was the king of, was in trouble. God was pronouncing judgment on the king and the city for the pride, for the fact that they were gloating over the fact that Jerusalem had been destroyed, and God was not happy. The name of the king is Ethbaal, and that's a reminder of who he served. He served the false god Baal, which is seen all throughout of the Bible. And so he had done these things, and God was not happy. And here's one more flash news announcement. He had a daughter. Ethbaal's daughter's name was Jezebel. You've heard of Jezebel before. This is the crazy lady that after the great victory that Isaiah or Elijah experienced on the Mount of Carmel against the prophets of Baal, the very next day he's being chased by Jezebel all through Israel, who was trying to kill him. So she was one nasty lady, and she was the daughter of this Baal. So as we dig into this passage, we begin to realize something. The wind beneath the wings of this king of Tyre was Satan himself. And this is actually a dual prophecy, and eventually we find out that this is showing us the very origins of Satan in eternity past. So let me give you just a few highlights from this passage for a moment, if I could. First of all, in verse 12, we're told that Lucifer was the seal of perfection in the sight of God. In fact, verse 13 says he was found in the very Eden of the Garden of God. And we know that from the book of Genesis. We go on to find out in verse 14 that he was called an anointed cherub. So he was anointed. He was set apart. He was part of the order of cherubim. And what was the job of the cherubim? To bring praise and to bring glory to the great triune God. That was his job. It goes on to say then in the verse 15, you were perfect in all of your ways from the day you were created. But then in your Bible, if it's your Bible this morning, circle the next word, until. Until something happened. What was that? Iniquity was found in you, says the prophet. What was that iniquity? Well, that iniquity can be really seen in a parallel passage, Isaiah chapter 14, verses 12 to 14, when we have the famous I wills, where Satan said, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne. I will sit on the mountain of God. I will ascend above all of the heights, and I will be like the Most High God. So here was Satan, Lucifer, originally, in the presence of God with a job description to bring glory and praise to God. And one day he said, I want it for myself. I want the glory. I want the praise. I want to be like God. And pride was found in his heart. And what was the result? In verse 16, God says, I will cast you out like a profane thing. And he was cast out from the presence of God, as well as a third of the angels that he deceived were all cast out of heaven. What I want you to know this morning is this. Your enemy is not your mate. Your enemy is not your child. Your enemy is not your coworker or your boss, but it's Satan himself. Now, some folks have a more passive view of who Satan is, kind of like the stories that is told about Billy Graham and the Pope and Oral Roberts, who are in a plane, and they crash, and they die, and they go before the pearly gates, and there's St. Peter, and Peter says, oh my goodness, I was not expecting you. Your place is not ready. And so he says, you need to hang out for a few days down in Hades while we get your place ready. So they send him on down. A few days later, Peter gets a call from Satan, and he says, you got to get these guys out of here. You got the Pope down here who's blessing everybody, Billy Graham who's trying to save everybody, and Oral Roberts who's trying to raise money for air conditioning. That's a more passive view, but the truth of the matter is this morning is that Satan is the prince and power of the air. He is the enemy. He's the one who's come to kill, steal, and destroy. And so we better understand that fact. The good news today is this: we win. He's on a short leash. He has a final end and a final home, and it's not a summer home down in West Palm Beach, but it's the lake of fire for all of eternity. And the good news is that we've been given all the tools that we need to win the battle. Say amen this morning. That is the good news. So let's get started on the back of your outline today. How do I get ready for the battle? By putting on the full armor of God. Number one, believe the battle is real. Apostle Paul writes, this epistle to the Ephesus church, and he comes to the close of it, and he helps them discover how to find victory in the battle. You better believe the battle is real. So on the screens, in your Bible, follow with me if you would. Paul says, here we are at the end of the book of the epistle. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, there it is again, but against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this age, and spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Let's look at a few highlights in this passage for a moment, if we could. First of all, he says that we are strong in the Lord and in his power and in his might. It's not my strength, it's not my power that brings the victory, but it's the power of God. We have a friend of the family that used to say, on my own, in my own strength, I'm about as tough as the inside of a Twinkie. And that's about right. I need God's help. I need God's power to find victory in my life. Recently, a few months ago, we had an event here, the Senator Forum. And we had senator candidates coming here to share what they're going to do if we elect them in the future here in Ohio. Great event. And they brought these campaigners with them. And these campaigners had to stay outside of the door. They weren't supposed to come in. They could stand right outside of the portico, on the other side of the portico. But they kept wanting to try to come into the building. And at one point in time, I was asked to go and ask them to get back where they needed to be at. So I went out there underneath the portico and said, guys, you all need to get back on the other side of the portico. And to my amazement, they listened to me and they did it. They all went back to where they're supposed to be. And I thought, man, I'm pretty good. That's awesome. And then I looked behind me, and there were the police, fully armed, fully dressed, behind me the whole time. Then I realized why those guys moved. And that's how it is in the battle, right? It's not my strength, it's not my power, but it's the Lord Jesus Christ. We understand that. His power, his might, put on the whole armor of God, he says in verse 11. Not part, not partial, not just one piece, but you need all of it. If we think we can have the mindset of the emperor's new clothes and go out the door with nothing on, we in big trouble. We are ready to be exposed and we're going to be in trouble that way. But he says instead, put it all on and stand against the wiles of the devil. That word wiles there is deceit, it's deception, it's the way our enemy operates. We understand that. We've seen it from the beginning in the garden when he deceived Eve to eat the fruit. We saw it in the Christmas story when he tried to use the deception of Herod to deceive the wise men, to expose and to tell where that baby was at so that Herod could kill him. Later on, we saw the great tragedy that Herod did against those 2-year-olds and under babies, little boys that were genocide and killed during that time. But then we saw the deceit again as Satan himself met Jesus in the wilderness and tried to deceive him 3 different times to no avail. So we understand that trickery of the evil one. And then he says in verse 12, for we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. It's not physical, but against principalities. Theologians tell us that principalities could be a reference to the rulers of the dark world. And then powers. Those are the officers in the dark world. And then the rulers of darkness in that world. And then the next step is the supporting cast, the supporting organization. And then the spiritual hosts of wickedness in dark places. Those are the foot soldiers. What I'm saying this morning is this. Satan is not omniscient, he's not omnipresent, he's not all-powerful, but he is well-organized. He has a whole organized force of hosts behind him, knowing what's going on, collecting recon, collecting information, understanding our struggles and our weaknesses, and trying to attack us so that we can be down and discouraged and not doing the mission that God has given us, as at the truth today. So we need to understand and believe that the battle is real. And that's where we begin. But from there, we need to go to number two. And we need to know the importance of each piece of armor. We need to know the importance of each piece of armor. He goes on to say, therefore, based on that information, take up the, again, whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. When's the evil day? Every day since the fall of mankind has been the evil day. We understand that. And having done all to do to stand, therefore stand. There's the repetition. Do everything you know to do, and then you stand firm in the power of God. And what do we need to do specifically? Look at the next verse if you would. Gird yourself with the waistband of truth. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Shod your feet with the preparation of gospel of peace. Above all, take the shield of faith, which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and then the helmet of salvation, and then the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Guys, you need to know and understand and appropriate each piece of armor. So let's look at them real quick. How about the belt of truth? My understanding, so here's Paul. He's at the end of the book of Acts, writing this epistle to the Ephesians. He's in prison, under arrest, and there is a Roman guard. And so he has this physical picture that affects the spiritual picture, and he sees the belt. And I understand on the Roman armor that the belt held the whole suit together. And if the belt came loose, the whole armor would fall apart. Reminds me of a great song from America's Got Talent some years ago. Pants on the ground, pants on the ground. Feeling like a fool with my pants on the ground. And that's what would happen if the belt came loose on the Roman armor. Everything would fall apart. But the truth of the matter is this today, that your life is built on the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the truth that sets us free. And so when he's our foundation and we appropriate him and his truth in our lives, then we stand strong and we stand firm in our lives, and our lives are held together. Is that the truth today? So the encouragement daily is to take up that belt of truth and say, Lord, help me to be that man of God. Help me to be that woman of God, to stand strong, to walk in truth and integrity without lie in my life, and to tell that truth and to live that truth that you've called me to live and to be. Put on the belt of truth. But then he says, put on the breastplate of righteousness. And I understand that the breastplate of righteousness was a breastplate that covered the vital organs to protect the soldier in battle so that his heart was protected. Now the truth of the matter is today is that you as a Christian have been given the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's been appropriated unto you, the Bible says. That means charged to your bank account. And so when you accept Christ, you get his righteousness. He sees you not as filthy rags, but as the Lord Jesus and his right. So you can have that relationship with God for all of eternity. That's us in position. But in practice, we still fall down. We still fall short. We still struggle. We still make unrighteous decisions. And that's where we need to confess and repent and get back on that right track with God again. But when we get in that state of mind, we're under attack. And the vital organs spiritually of our lives are under attack. And we can have a real difficult time and situation. So daily, put on the belt of righteousness. As we say, Lord, help me in what I do, say, watch, listen to give you glory and honor in my life. That's the heart that comes out of a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he said, shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The Roman armor included sandals with cleats so that you could stand firm in the midst of the battle and in the midst of the mission that you've been called to give and to do. And what is that gospel of peace? It's the good news that you can have peace with God. You've been reconciled with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, and you can have peace with those around you as well. That is a great mission and a great message to tell others, isn't it? And when do we need to do that? Just when it's easy? Just when it's convenient? No. We're on mission all of the time. If you don't believe that, ask the missionaries in Haiti that were held captive all of those days just recently, but who are, praise God, are now free. But what I read, what I saw, was that they hung tough in their faith. They continued to pray. They continued to trust and even continued to sing praises to God in the midst of their captivity. And I got to believe that there's going to be a day where we're going to hear stories that come out that some of those captives gave their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ because of the testimony of those missionaries during that even most difficult time. Put the gospel shoes on and then take up the Roman shield, the shield of faith that extinguishes the fiery darts of the evil one. I understand that that shield of faith went from head to toe and covered the whole Roman soldier so that when the fiery darts, choo, choo, started flying their way, it would hit the shield and the substance on the shield would extinguish those fiery darts. But you know what else is cool about the Roman shield? It connected with other shields. And one by one by one, they could build a whole wall of protection against the enemy. So listen, there are fiery darts coming your way from the enemy as well. Fear, worry, doubt, discouragement, lustfulness, you fill in the blank. Habits, addictions, struggles, whatever those are, choo, choo, they're coming your way, they're coming my way. What do we do with them? Try to take them on our own? I don't think so. No, you take them to Jesus in faith. You give it to Him. Let Him extinguish. Let Him destroy those fiery darts. And when you don't have enough faith to do it on your own, you connect with other believers who have faith. And you hold each other up and you strengthen one another. That's why the Bible says don't forsake together the assembly of believers. Amen? Because we're called to come together to encourage one another and fan the faith flame of one another so that we can stand strong in that evil day. Take up the shield of faith. And then he says, put on the helmet of salvation. When the fear and the worry and the doubt and the struggles come your way, put on the helmet of salvation. Say, get out of here, devil. I'm a child of the King. Don't you tell me anything else. I am a blood-bought child. I'm part of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I have a relationship with Him forever. Take up that Bible verse that says, He will keep you in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on Him, who trusts in Him. And you hang on and know that you have put on the helmet of salvation. And finally, you take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That was the short sword. So that when the Roman soldiers were in combat, in short combat, they had the sword, the offensive weapon, to be able to destroy their enemy. Your short sword is the sword of the Spirit, the Bible, the Word of God. Know it, appropriate it, memorize it, hide it in your heart so you do not sin against Him. And when those lies come, when that deceit comes your way, say, devil, get out of here. This is what the Bible says. This is what the truth says. Counter the lie with the truth. That's what Jesus did in the wilderness. Three times the devil came to Him and tried to trick Him and deceive Him and twist the truth of Scripture with Him. And every time Jesus said, it is written, it is written, it is written. And what was the result? Sent the devil running. Sent him hiking down the road. We know that. That's the truth. So take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You need to know each piece of armor. So a couple things. First of all, understand that when you put on the armor of God, you are putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. You are dressing from head to toe with the Lord Jesus, because each piece of armor is an attribute of the Lord Jesus Christ. Put on Christ. And then the question becomes, that's cool. How do I do it? How do I put on my armor? That brings us to number three today. Put the armor on in prayer. You put it on in prayer. Look what it says in verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with a perseverance and supplication for all saints. So let's break that down just for a moment. So pray always. Whenever possible, every opportunity, in the morning, long prayers, throughout the day, breath prayers, at night, good night prayers to the Lord Jesus, but find time all throughout the day to pray, and then pray a variety of prayers. By the way, how does a pirate pray? Our Father. That's a grandpa joke. I told that to my grandkids, and they're shaking their heads at me right now. Said, Papa, that was not funny. I can hear the words. Friday prayer. How about the Lord's Prayer is an incredible pattern of prayer. How about ACTS, an incredible pattern of prayer. A stands for adoration, giving Him praise. C stands for confession, confessing your sins as the Holy Spirit shines that flashlight. T stands for thanksgiving, just thanking Him for the blessings in our lives. And S in Acts stands for supplication, making your requests known unto God at that time and at that moment. But of course, what we're talking about today is the armor prayer. You can put on the armor piece by piece in prayer. Lord, help me today to put on the belt of truth, to stand in truth and integrity, to walk and to speak in truth and integrity and not lies. Lord, help me take up the breastplate and what I do, say, watch, listen to, attitude, heart of mind, help me to be righteous before you today. Lord, let me put on the gospel shoes, ready to be on mission for you to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe that's just planting. Maybe that's watering. Maybe that's cultivating. Or maybe today, Lord, I'll get the harvest. But whatever part it is, Lord, use me today, the gospel shoes. Lord, help me to put on that helmet of salvation. And when the old devil tells me that I'm no good, I'm going to remind him that I'm a saint, not an ain't. That I'm a child of the King. And put on that helmet of salvation. Oh, dear Lord, and then help me take up that shield and that breastplate. And when those fiery darts come my way of fear and worry and doubt and bitterness and discouragement, I'm going to give it to you to extinguish and to destroy. And then finally, Lord, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Help me take up the Word today, the offensive weapon, and help me to counter the lie with the truth that sends the devil running, even today. Put on the full armor of God. That's a variety of prayers. And then you do it in the Spirit, relying on the Spirit, asking Him for the words and the help that you need to pray as you would want to. And then be watchful, be alert, be ready for the attack, and then persevere. Don't give up. Who have you been praying for a long time and you haven't given up? A friend, a loved one, a family member, a coworker, whoever that person is, don't give up. You hang in there. You hang tough. I've seen God answer those kinds of prayers, and sometimes it took 20 years, but you don't give up. Keep trusting Him for what He's going to do in that person's life. And then finally, pray for all the saints. So if we were to put those four things into a nutshell, here's an easy way to say it. Pray always. That's frequency. With all prayers, that's variety. In the Spirit, that's being submissive or submissively. Watchfulness, that's intensity. Perseverance, that's persistency. And praying for all the saints, that's intercessory. We're all called to be, to whatever level that we're at, intercessory prayer warriors, even for one another. So, put on the armor every day. Put it on in prayer every day. Why? Because the battle's every day. The battle's every day. Do not leave home without it. Be fully suited up. Be fully geared up for what God has in store for that day ahead. So guys, in closing this morning, what do we need to do? Believe the battle is real. Know the importance of each piece. And put each piece on in prayer. Make that a prayer pattern so that you're ready to go. Listen, I don't know what 2022 is going to bring. I know what we've already seen. We've seen COVID. We've seen Delta. We're seeing Omicron. We've seen a statue of the beast of Revelation 13 laid at the feet of the UN. We're seeing some crazy stuff. This world is in confusion. Anti-Christian and it's anti-God. But guys, we know the war has been won on the cross. Amen? The battle's daily, but the war has been won. Satan is defeated. He's on a short leash. We have all that we need to win that daily battle. And here's what I want you to know. In 2022, your mission, my mission, has not changed. We're still appropriating the great commandment to love God with all heart, soul, mind, and strength, to love our neighbor as ourselves. We're still receiving the great commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, right? He's building his kingdom spiritually, one soul at a time, and he's not done yet. If he was, we wouldn't be here. And so that mission is still for us for 2022. So like I said before, suit up. You're an avenger. You're an avenger for God. That was my Captain America reference. But that's what we're called to do. That's what we're called to be, to walk in faith and not fear. God is with us every step of the way. Once we've done all to do to stand, then stand. We don't know what's around the corner. We don't know what lies ahead. But we know who's there already. Amen, church. Nothing to fear. Trust the Lord Jesus Christ. Suit up. Full armor of God. Be ready to complete your mission in 22.